That's the Father's ambition for you and I, to increasingly reflect his Son to the world. Both in terms of what we do, how we use our God-given gifts and abilities, but that's a subject for another time. But of course, also we're to reflect Jesus by our character. So we're to grow in love, patience, kindness, the fruits of the Spirit. And who we are, our character, is actually more important than what we do. So Paul in 1 Corinthians 13, he says, you can be the most gifted person there is, but if you don't have love, it's worth nothing. So our character actually is more important than what we do. And it's the Father's ambition for us to grow in character, to become more Christ-like. So I believe the Lord takes us into situations in order to grow our character. He brings people in our life to grow our character. Because I said that's ambition for us. So for example, if you're someone who struggles with patience, you're not a very patient person, and you kind of pray, oh Lord, make me more patient. He'll bring someone into your life to test your patience. And we've got to be open to those opportunities, because we can just start thinking, oh, that person is so annoying, I'm not going to go anywhere near them. But actually, the Lord might have brought him into your life to test your patience, to grow your character. Because sometimes as Christians, we're tempted not to engage with those opportunities, let's put it that way. You know, I hear about Christians who leave a church because someone has offended them at church. So they leave a church. And I'm just thinking, well, maybe the Lord has brought that person into your life to deal with your pride. And actually what you're doing is just taking your pride to the church down the road. And guess what? You'll get offended there as well. There may be some people who are just annoying. I get that. But we've got to be looking for opportunities and asking the Lord, actually, what are you doing in me? How is this situation, how is this person helping me to grow in character? I think the Lord is relentless at wanting his children to grow in character, to become more like Jesus, so we can better reflect Jesus to the world around us. All of that is quite a lengthy introduction to our subject this morning, which is growing through endurance and perseverance. Those things are closely connected. Endurance is just standing firm in the face of difficulty and trouble. With perseverance, you've got an end goal to it. You're walking through a difficulty or trouble to get to an end goal. But they're kind of related. So it's really, how are we growing through endurance and perseverance? That's what we're looking at this morning. Just to say, I don't think the Lord brings calamity into our life to teach us a lesson. I don't think he brings sickness into our life to teach us a lesson. Because you hear that sometimes, don't you? Some Christians will say, oh, the Lord has inflicted this on me to make me humble. I don't think Scripture teaches that. He can use calamity, but he doesn't bring calamity to teach us. When we read the word suffering in the New Testament, it invariably means persecution for being associated with Jesus. This is what it says in our reading in Timothy. Verse 12, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. Hands up if you're part of everyone. Hands up if you want to live a godly life. I'm relieved everyone put their hands up at that point. Well, you need to know this morning that you will be persecuted. This isn't the most cheery of subjects. Just some context. Paul wrote to Timothy whilst in prison in Rome. He wrote it shortly before he was martyred. The letter is addressing a particular pastoral concern. A number of people in the church were spreading false teaching and leading people away from the faith. So people were teaching such things as the final resurrection had already taken place. And Paul said it was destroying the faith of some. So it's a serious issue. And into this environment, Paul is encouraging Timothy to be faithful. He says, continue in what you've learned. Be faithful to Jesus. Be faithful to the gospel as revealed in the scriptures. He says, endure hardship, the persecution he was receiving. And the source of the persecution was from those within the church. Let's just pause to take that in. The persecution was from within the church. Louise and I have always felt on the margins of the church we belong to. I'm not talking about the local church, I'm talking about the national church. Because we come from a background where we believe scripture is all important. But also we want to be open to the Holy Spirit. We want to try and do that. So we think you need both word and spirit, which I think this church does as well. It's in your thing, which is great. But I've been in several meetings with clergy colleagues where people just think I'm either too fanatical or too weird, or often both. I remember in our curate training, the person invited, I think it was Michael Green. Do you remember Michael Green? He was quite a famous guy, wasn't he? He came and did a session on evangelism, and he talked about the need for people to be saved, that people were lost and they needed salvation. I thought it was a great talk. Over half the curates in the room were up in arms about the language he used about people being lost and needing salvation. They were not happy at all that we should talk in that language. And I'm thinking, well, it's in the Bible. People are lost, they need salvation. So we've always felt a bit on the margins of the church. And actually, we used to go to an event called River Camp. It was an Ealing Pentecostal new wine kind of thing. And I remember several times you kind of queue at these events. If you've been to these events, you queue for your food, you queue for the toilet, you queue for a shower. And I remember being in one of these queues several times, and you get chatting to the person in the queue. You know, oh, where are you from? What church are you from? And I'd say, oh, I'm from a Church of England church in Northamptonshire. And I'd often see this look of, like, why are you here? Are you a Christian? You're Anglican? So we've often felt a bit on the margins of church life, really. We have to stand firm for the gospel. A gospel of grace which says we can't earn what the Lord has done for us. It's a gift. Jesus crucified, the call to repentance, these core gospel truths, we've got to stand firm. In the current climate of the Church of England, with a new archbishop, I think it's really unclear which direction the Church of England is going. Although there's a statement this week, interestingly, which is saying it's delaying the process of the PLF thing. We have to stand firm for the gospel, even if it means that will bring persecution for within the church. Do you know what the Church of England Article 26 says? No, you don't read those at night? I don't either. I had to look it up. It says this: in the visible church, the evil is ever mingled with the good, and sometimes the evil have chief authority in the ministration of the word and sacraments. That's interesting, isn't it? The Church of England recognizes that within itself there's going to be issues. If I'm honest, I think the persecution we get from within the church is minor at the moment, at least. You know, you're here, you're all at the sharp end of living out your faith, being associated with Jesus. You will have contexts such as work, friendships, family, where standing up for Jesus and the gospel may bring bigger persecution. I think particularly for our young people, to stand up for Jesus in their context is so much harder than it was in my day and maybe your day. I heard someone describe the difference, and they said to me, it's like in our day, we'd walk down a school corridor and there'd be all these shut rooms in the corridor with things like alcohol, drugs, pornography, and you could open the door to go in. And they said, actually, nowadays, you're walking down the corridor, these doors are all open, and they've got their friends in each room saying, come in and experience this. I think it's worse than that. I think they're on your sons and daughters' shoulders with their phones saying, experience this, look at this. So the context for our young people now to stand up for Jesus and the gospel is so hard. We need to so pray for our young people, your children, your grandchildren, that they're able to stand up for the gospel. Stand up for Jesus. Paul says to Timothy, continue in what you've learned and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. And then he goes on, it's quite the well-known passage, all Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. This book is food for our soul. Paul's solution to this young leader was to keep rooted in Scripture. Christianity Today magazine did a survey a number of years ago of churchgoers. The results showed that whilst 90% of people wanted to please and honor Jesus in all they did, only 19% of churchgoers read their Bible daily. So over 80% of churchgoers didn't read their Bible daily. Whether that's changed much, I don't know. I'm not trying to make people feel guilty. I'm trying to encourage you to get into the Word. It's food for our souls. If we're going to be rooted in Scripture, we do need a plan. It doesn't happen accidentally. Make a plan. Find a time to read and reflect on a passage. Time is our most valuable commodity. We can always go and make some more money. We can't make more time. Find a time. Find a place. I usually read my Bible in the same place, on the same chair, with a cup of tea. Find time. Find a place. Find a pattern. There's many different ways to read through the Bible. Louise starts from the beginning, reads through, starts from the beginning again. I can't do that. I have to split it up into four bits, and there's lots of different guides out there. There's apps on your phone that will help you. We have to make a plan if we're going to get rooted in Scripture. If all that it seems too hard, find someone else to help you find a plan, to make a plan. Being rooted in Scripture will help us endure in the face of troubles, difficulties, i.e. persecution. But enduring will grow our character. The Lord will make us stronger if we're standing firm in the face of persecution. The second area where the Lord will grow our character is through perseverance. In this gospel reading, Jesus tells his disciples a parable about a persistent widow. He gives the purpose of the parable. He says to show them that they should always pray and not give up. And towards the end of the parable, he says, like the judge, will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones? The point being, if even a rotten judge like that can be persuaded to do the right thing by someone who pesters him day and night until it happens, then of course God, who is justice in person, who cares passionately about people, will vindicate them and see that justice is done. And then the parable ends. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? Which feels a bit odd on first reading. We'll get to that bit. The point, though, is persevere in prayer. Keep going. I'm sure all of us here are praying for things that we haven't seen the answer to. Maybe you haven't seen a breakthrough for a difficult situation you've been praying about. Maybe you've been praying for healing and you haven't seen any improvement. Maybe you've been praying for a loved one in your family to become a Christian and they haven't yet. Jesus encourages us to persevere, keep going. I was interested to read, I think it was Hilary and Sue's articles in this month's magazine. They're worth a read. At this River Camp Festival, Louise and I went to, a lady called Heidi Baker used to speak. I don't know if you've heard of Heidi Baker. She founded Iris Ministries. She's a missionary in Mozambique. And she runs orphanages for destitute children. She's planted hundreds, I think even thousands of churches in that nation. She sees many people healed and come to Christ. Yet she also sees much loss. She's seen, you know, many of her children and her pastors die from illness. She's had her pastors killed from those who don't agree with what she's done. And speaking at River Camp one year, she spoke on the need for perseverance. She said, you don't go to many conferences where the subject is perseverance. Conferences are usually about living in victory, revival, when actually perseverance is often what we need, just to keep going. I love this from the diary of John Wesley. Sunday morning, May the 5th, preached in St. Anne's, was asked not to come back anymore. Sunday afternoon, May the 5th, preached at St. John's. Deacon said, get out and stay out. Sunday morning, May the 12th, preached at St. Jude's. Can't go back there either. Sunday morning, May the 19th, preached in somebody else's. Deacons called special meeting and said I couldn't return. Sunday afternoon, May the 19th, preached on street, kicked off street. Sunday morning, May the 26th, preached in Meadow. Chased out of meadow as bull was turned loose during service. Sunday morning, June the 2nd, preached out at the edge of town, kicked off the highway. Sunday afternoon, June the 2nd, preached in a pasture, 10,000 people came out to hear me. That's great, isn't it? I wonder, well, whether perseverance is going out of fashion. You know, we live in a society where we all have gadgets to help us make quick decisions and give us quick answers. Just a silly example from this week. Now I've reached a certain age, I've treated myself to join a golf club. And my parents, for my birthday, bought me one of these like posh watches for golfers that tells you how far you need to hit the ball, which is a bit immaterial for me because I've got no idea how far I'm going to hit it or where I'm going to hit it. But I switched it on this week, and it finds a GPS signal, or tries to, and it didn't find it straight away. I was getting really annoyed. I was like, come on! Why haven't you found this GPS? Why haven't you found the course? And I had to stop myself and think, Adrian, you're out in the country. This is a treat for you. What are you doing? Relax. We all have these gadgets, don't we, to tell us quick things. The Lord wants to see perseverance, that we keep going, that we're steadfast, that we're faithful in the small things. It builds our faith muscles. Romans 5:3-5 says, we also rejoice in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance, character, and character, hope. There's a progression going on. As we persevere, He builds our character. And you know, the Lord, when it comes to prayer, He does answer our prayers, but He often answers our prayers in other ways than we think we should get the answers. You know, sometimes God, I think, answers large problems with small steps. So we may be contending for a massive breakthrough in our life, and He answers in small ways. So we're praying for a large oak tree, and actually He's answering us in small acorns. And if we don't see the small acorns, we get so focused on not seeing the big oak tree, we're missing what He's doing. And we can hold Him to hostage, can't we? And say, Lord, Why can't I see the big oak tree? Well, actually, he's given you small acorns. So if you're praying for something big, look for the small ways that he may be answering you. Don't lose confidence in him. Always see him as your deliverer. What about that last bit? And we'll come to a close. It says, however, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? This is not, will I find any believers? I believe this is, will I find faith that has endured through perseverance? Bill Johnson, who I quote a fair bit, the leader of Bethel Church in America, he says, faith brings answers, enduring faith builds character. And he says, character is developed through the disciplined choices made in the face of trials, difficulties, and opportunities. This enduring faith, forged through these experiences, allows a person to be entrusted with what God is doing. So on his return, will Jesus find that kind of enduring faith? So the Lord is always, I believe, looking at ways to build character in our life. And he'll do that when we stand firm in the face of persecution. And he'll do that when we persevere in prayer. James 1 says, let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Amen.